You are now listening to Productivity Boss Moves with Robert Price. For more, follow me on Twitter at Robert Price CO. Welcome to Productivity Boss Moves. This is your host, Productivity Coach Robert Price. And once again, I'm grateful to be here today. Today, we're talking about how to effectively communicate with the group. Somebody might say, what does effective communication have to do with productivity? Well, it has everything to do with it, because if you have been in a leadership role or in a scenario where you've been responsible for communicating information with a group of people or even just one individual, and on the other side of that, that group doesn't, or that person doesn't feel the way you were intending for that person or that group to feel, if they don't do what you were hoping to have them do, the outcome you were seeking to gain from that, then you didn't effectively communicate, which causes you to have to spend more time and energy into sharing that information, which is, you know, you're losing time in the end, because you're having to go double back and communicate more than once. And so I would love for you to do that as little as possible, so that you can be able to communicate effectively and move on to the next thing that you need to get to. So before we hop into it real quick, I just thought about the word group for a second. And that made me think of my favorite musical group of all time, singing group, boy band, girl band, like however you want to classify it. But for me, my favorite music group of all time is Boys to Men. Their harmonies were beautiful. I just sounded like one voice. But yeah, I think of the Christmas album. I can't wait to play that as the holidays approach soon. But yeah, Boys to Men. Reach out to me on Twitter. Let me know what's your favorite musical group that you enjoy listening to. But so really quickly, I want to break this down for you in an acronym called FAST. And this acronym is going to stand for four different audience members that exist in whatever group that you are communicating with, speaking to, whether it's a staff meeting, a keynote speech, you're trying to communicate better with your spouse, a business partner, whatever it is. These are the different people that exist in those rooms. And so I'm just going to go through them really quickly. And I'm going to share a story with you on how I use this information to really communicate really effectively in a scenario that seemed unmovable at the time, but based on me using this information, it ended up producing the outcome that I was aiming for. So, number one, the first group is this is the F and the FAST acronym, but this group is concerned about facts and figures. Only thing they want to hear about is the numbers. They want to know the statistics, the percentages, the story is great, but how do I know that that is just, how do I know that that story represents a larger part of the population that requires me to do something about it? You know, if it's only one person who had that experience, well, that's a cool story, but it doesn't really have a whole lot of bearings on what I should be doing moving forward. So, you know, this is the research group. So you want to make sure that you have your ducks in a row as it relates to, you know, stats, your percentages. Speaking of that, this is actually less than 20% of the population that is primarily focused on facts and figures. They just want to know, you know, what are the numbers? What are the dates? What are the logistics? You know, what is that kind of stuff? They're really in the, you know, the details as it relates to, as it relates to the information that's being communicated. So facts and figures. Then number two, you have the action people. That's action and activity. They're concerned with the A in this acronym. So this is less than 20% of the population as well. But this group is, you have to really think about, you know, generationally speaking, with technology being as advanced as it is and social media being as popular as it is and everything happening at a really fast pace, when it comes to people speaking, you know, it may not be a lot of attention given to if you have a, you know, 20 to 30 minutes to do a presentation, you know, people might not be listening for that entire time. So making sure, keeping it lighthearted, keeping it, you know, some jokes, throwing some jokes in there, some entertainment factors, some music, some stuff to keep it live while you're going through, and then asking questions, making it interactive, you know, whatever activity you can present to make that person a part of the learning experience. So they're learning by their, you know, they call it experiential learning versus just kind of either hearing the facts and figures or, you know, hearing stories. So this is the second person that's in the room. They're concerned about action and activity. They want you to, they want it to flow. Then the third person in the room is the steps and structure people. These people, this is the highest percentage of people that exist in the world. These are more than 40% of people. And so, you know, there's some people that no matter what information you share, they need you to tell them what their next step is, or else they're not going to be able to do anything with the information that you present. Hence why at the end of every episode, I have a boss move of the week, because we're going over all this information. We're going over statistics. We're going over stories, just going over different things. But at the end of the day, you know, that large population of people wants to know, OK, where do I go from here? What do I do next? And that's why I have the, you know, boss move of the week for these individuals. But at any rate, anytime I'm sharing information, whether it's at a meeting or speaking to a group of students, I want to make sure that I have a call to action at the end of that, so everybody knows exactly, you know, what to do and where we're moving after that, because this is, like I said, over 40% of the population. So you always want to make sure you have that included. And then the last thing is the T, which is tells and touch. So this group, they're not really hung up on the facts and figures. They're not hung up on the activity. They're not even hung up on the steps and structure. Like, they really want to feel impacted by what you have to share. And a lot of times when you share personal stories or tells, that allows people to feel what you're saying, which it is that feeling that sometimes motivates people and moves them to action. And the touch part really is about, you know, how relevant is that story? So if you're speaking to, I don't know, you're speaking to a group of senior citizens about business, you might want to use Colonel Sanders as an example, because that's a person who didn't really, he didn't get started till well into his 60s and created one of the largest, you know, chicken conglomerates in the world. But he had a really late start, but it still didn't diminish the impact that he would eventually have. So that's going to connect with a group like that, you know, maybe a lot better than that would connect with a group of teenagers, you know, or even like last week, I think I was sharing a story about Denzel in college where he, when he was undecided, he didn't really know his direction. He had a 1.8 or something like that. And then, but once he, he had a 1.8 or something like that. And then once he was flunked out, and he had to, when he came back through a friend who told him, you know, really he should focus on acting and drama. And that totally changed him because now he was able to live life based on his strengths versus struggling with areas that he wasn't, you know, really strong in. That might be a good example to share with a college group of students, because they're in the place that the kid in that story was in. Denzel was in that place at that time. So just thinking about the relevance of the information, the story that's being shared, along with the fact that you're even, you know, sharing the story and that is meaningful to you personally and you make it meaningful to the group. So I want to share kind of an example of how I use this information and a professional experience I had. There was a scenario where a group of staff members, I'm trying to keep it as unclear as possible of who I'm talking about or what I'm talking about, but there was a group of staff colleagues that I had, and we all felt a similar way about our hiring process in this particular place. And we were all people who spoke the language, mostly all people who spoke the language of tells and touch. You know, our thing was all about the stories, how this was personally impacting us. We're a strong team as a result of that, because we really cared for one another and we really stayed in tune with one another. But, you know, when it came to getting over this hump, we couldn't get over it because the person, our supervisor, the person we were depending on for this hiring, you know, process to change that was impacting our lives and our work, they were not a tells and touch person. And it took a minute. It took one day for me to stop and think about, okay, who is this person and how to best get, how to, what is the communication language that they prefer to speak? And how do we begin speaking that to get this change? So anyways, this person was a steps and structure person. They literally, only thing they really cared about was, okay, what's the next step and how are we going to implement that? So once I figured that out, I'm like, oh, we've been doing it all wrong. We've been telling these stories. We've been trying to inspire change. Well, really, we should be outlining it. And so I took it upon myself to outline it. I created this whole, you know, new hiring process, and I presented it in a staff meeting. And literally my, you know, boss supervisor at the time got up, picked the paper up, the packet up that I had presented, slammed it on the table and said to the group, this is how you create change. And so the lesson that I learned from that story and that I experienced was, you know, it's not all the time that this person doesn't care about what you care about. You know what I mean? There might be something that you care about and you're thinking, man, this person doesn't care about what I care about. But that may not be true. It's just that maybe you're not communicating what you are needing to get across in a way that's registering with them. So just really focusing on how to, you know, how this person, you know, how they hear and how they understand things. And once I presented things in that way, man, things were changed immediately. So I think we need to, it's been said that we have one mouth and two ears for a reason. And I think when we can master our listening better and figure out, what are they really concerned about? What are these people really concerned about? That's when we can transition to being able to, you know, really communicate effectively, because we'll know exactly where others are coming from. And so that leads me to the boss move of the week. Again, you got, and let me just review these people. So you got the facts and figures. These people are less than 20% of the population. You have action and activity based people, less than 20% of the population. Steps and structure, more than 40% of the population. And tails and touch, this is about 30% of the population. Didn't share that initially yet, but and this is actually these different people. I creatively kind of changed the format in which I, you know, gave these people's names, but it comes from the DISC assessment. You've heard me mention that assessment before, that that's where these percentages are pulled from. But that's that. So the boss move of the week, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of a person in your life it's been difficult to communicate with. Identify which communication language they prefer to speak. Is it facts and figures? Is it action and activity? Is it steps and structure? Is it tells and touch? And then commit to one communication action you will use to reach them this week. So I'm going to read that one more time. So think of a person in your life it's been difficult to communicate with. Identify which communication language they prefer to speak, and then commit to one communication action you will use to reach them this week. Remember, it's not enough to dream. We must do something about it. You guys have a productive week.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Productivity Boss Moves. If you have any questions, topic suggestions, or just want to say hello, follow me on Twitter at Robert Price CO. If you haven't done so already, please take a minute and leave a quick rating and review of this show on Apple Podcasts. It will help me to keep delivering life-changing information for you every week.